Well, happy Sabbath, everybody. Such a great place to be here in Southern California. Full of blessings. Wonderful place. So, in preparing this message, I was thinking about the blessings of Deuteronomy and the curses of Deuteronomy. And there's a lot of curses there. And I started scratching my head and thinking, well, isn't it easier just to be blessed and to forego all the curses? So what I'm going to talk about today is blessings and what blessings are, which in simple terms, blessings can be understood as the free flow of good things, both spiritual and material. And digging deeper and getting a little bit more specific about what blessings are in the Bible, I want to look at three ways of looking at blessings. One way, humans can bless God themselves. The second way, humans can bless other humans. A third way, God blesses humans. So let's start with this first notion of humans blessing God. The Hebrew word for blessing is the word barak, which literally means bended knee. In Psalms 103 verses 1 and 2, it's almost like the song that we just sang. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The pulpit commentary on this idea of bless the Lord, O my soul, it's more than just praise that is being extended here. It is praise with affection and gratitude. The psalmist David calls upon his own soul. He reaches into his gut to begin the song of praise. He says, with all that is within me, the whole nature, the intellect, the emotion, the feeling, the sentiment, the brain, the heart, the tongue, the voice. But now Barnes' notes on the Bible adds this: and all that is within me, all my powers and facilities that can be employed in his praise, the heart, the will, the affections, the emotions. The idea is that God is worthy of all the praise and adoration which the entire person can render. No one of our facilities or powers should be exempt from the duty of praising God. The very notion that the word bless means bended knees, that probably means that some of this praise towards God should be done on your knees, not while you're driving your car around. You need that dedicated one-on-one time. He's taking the time out of his schedule of listening to the billions of people on earth. He's going to talk with you personally. You bend your knee. We bless God through expressions of honor, worship, declaration of devotion, admiration, and love. In Matthew 25, verses 44 and 45, it says in verse 44, and they will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, a stranger or naked, or sick or in prison, and did not minister unto you? And then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, insomuch that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. So it's interesting that there's a connection between us blessing God and us being a blessing to others, which seems to reflect the blessing back to you. So now let's look at how humans bless other humans. And again, you can be the one giving the blessing, and perhaps you can be the one receiving the blessing. So granting or giving a blessing is not always between humans and God. It's also an aspect of our interaction with one another as human beings on this earth. We can be a blessing to others in many ways. Sometimes we may be aware that we're a blessing to others. Sometimes we don't know that we've been a blessing to others. We've done something good for somebody, or we've impacted their lives, and we don't realize it. Looking at a simple blessing, it could be providing a ride to somebody, to services, which we see a lot of here. Holding a door open for people coming in the door. Having people over for a meal or an overnight stay. And also, something particular we can do for folks is we can have ears to hear. Listening to people, sometimes that's a blessing that they don't get very often. It is a wonderful spiritual trait to be able to listen to other folks. Certainly showing patience and kindness to others is a blessing outwardly. I can't tell you how many times I'll get a phone call at the office for some guy, some woman doing a cold call. It could be a recruiter, it could be some wholesaler trying to get us to make an appointment with them to sell their products. And I have to tell these people I appreciate their hard work for making the phone calls, because certainly dialing random phone numbers to strangers and being hung up on and told all kinds of crazy stuff to is not an encouraging job. I mean, I've had to go through that in my career, and you know what? Just a little talk of compassion to these folks, saying, wow, keep up the good work. I know it's hard, and I can't tell you how many times they'll take a cleansing breath and they'll tell me that I'm the nicest call they've had in weeks or months, and that I really made their day. How simple was that? It didn't cost me but a few seconds on the phone, a few nice words. Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 11. This is the New International Version, so I can't turn to it, but I copied it. And this is pretty clear. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and long-suffering. This type of blessing from human to human comes from the heart and expresses outgoing concern for other people. Jesus spoke about this in Mark 12. This is a longer section, Mark 12. Starting in verse 28. Then one of the scribes came herding them, reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, and said to him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him and said, the first commandment is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. In verse 32, and the scribe said to him, well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now when Jesus saw and he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of heaven. Well, you realize those sacrifices were giving for sins, for breaking God's law, for being just the opposite of the goodness that we should be showing towards God and our neighbors. But now we're going to come to an important section on blessings.
God blessing humans. God blessing you. That really gets to the basic question we got to get to. How does one become blessed of God? It's not automatic. You're not born with it. You got to do something. Realize God does not owe human beings anything for their behavior, but he is pleased to provide blessings of obedience for keeping his law. I use the book of Deuteronomy as my example here. Some may say these blessings only apply to the children of Israel who are wandering the desert, or perhaps the 10 tribes. But the church is called the Israel of God in Galatians 6. You know, so we are that Israel as well. And all of those who are holy and without blame that come before him in love are seen as being adopted as sons through the life of Jesus Christ. So we're part of that family, that holy family of Israel. So in Deuteronomy 7, Deuteronomy is a wonderful book. You should read it every 7 years. It is a summary of so many things that we know, the holy days, the food laws, the commandments. So Deuteronomy 7, part of the blessings chapters, starting in verse 12, it says, "It shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep you with the covenant," or the agreement, "and the mercy which he swore to your fathers." You know, we're going to talk about that covenant and agreement that he swore to Abraham shortly. "And he will love you and bless you and multiply you, and he will also bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your land, the grain of your new wine, your oil, the increase of your cattle, offspring of your flock, the land which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on those who hate you." Our God is so great that blessings could require the power to override physical laws of the created universe for a moment to make your blessing sure. He can make diseases avoid us or make a bottle of olive oil not run dry. But even mightier than this, these overwhelming blessings and miracles, our God can manipulate time. Yes, time stopped for Joshua. In Joshua 12, there's a little story, 12 through 14. In Joshua 12 through 14, it says, "Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, 'Sun, stand over Gibeon, and moon over the valley of Ajalon.' And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for a whole day. And there's never been a day like before or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." One time, manipulating time, maybe that's a big deal or not. How about two? Time ran backward for the king Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 20. This is a longer story, 2 Kings chapter 20, 1 through 11. "In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went into him and said, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live.' And then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, 'Remember now, O Lord, I pray,'" and this is Hezekiah's prayer, "'I have walked before you in truth and with a whole loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Matthew Henry's concise commentary says that prayer is one of the best preparations for death. Because of it, we fetch in strength and grace from God to enable us to finish well. He says, Hezekiah wept sorely. But Hezekiah does not pray, Lord, spare me, extend my life. But he says, Lord, remember me. Whether I live or die, let me be yours. So no matter my lot in life, remember me and let me belong to you. Returning to the story in 2 Kings, verse 20, as it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of the people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. And I will deliver you from the city, from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend the city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Verse 7, and Isaiah said to Hezekiah, take this lump of figs. So he took this lump of figs and they laid it on a boil and he recovered. Now this brings to mind another verse that Jesus said. I'll read it to you. This is Mark 1, verse 42. It says, 40 through 44, actually. It says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, saying, kneel down at him and say to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he was strictly warned by Jesus and sent away at once. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way. Show the priest and offer for cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. My point, in other words, if you want a blessing from God, do what he requires, no matter how simple or how silly it may sound. The results may be unprecedented and spectacular. Back to 2 Kings 20. Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what is the sign the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord on the third day? And Isaiah said, this is a sign from the Lord that the Lord will do the things which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or back 10 degrees? Now understand, there's 360 degrees in a day, and 10 degrees of time is 37 minutes. 10 degrees. This is a sign from the Lord that the Lord will do the things which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees, 37 minutes forward, or go backward 10 degrees, 37 minutes backwards? And Hezekiah said, it's an easy thing for the shadow to go forward 37 minutes or 10 degrees. But no, let the shadow go back in time 37 minutes. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow back 10 degrees backward. Hezekiah had to surrender to motivate and inspire God to take action, his whole soul. But do we surrender to God and take action that grants us a blessing and to have a blessed life? Here's the long part in the message, Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. Jesus put it right in front of us. And you know, you think of the Beatitudes, he's up on the Mount of the Beatitudes, and I think about the time that we stood up there, and I think there's people that have been to the Mount of the Beatitudes, and you're up there and you see all the pretty oleander and purple flowers, and you're looking down on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is talking to his disciples. So starting in verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And then he opened his mouth and taught him, saying, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In the book of Psalms, we find the words in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. The word contrite, it's showing remorse. In other words, willingness to say, I'm sorry. I have a forgiving attitude. It is a repentant attitude, a feeling and a desire to correct a wrong. That's the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And mourning is showing sorrow. James 4, 9 and 10 admonish us to lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Let your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Those who mourn feel a sense of humility and sadness, whether it's concern for themselves or others. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek does not mean weak. Moses was meek, but he was a strong leader. Christ was meek and gentle, but he wasn't weak. Meek is a tame spirit, someone that doesn't blow a gasket, somebody who doesn't just go nuts when you tell them something that's contrary to what they believe or think. It's a humble spirit, submissive, gentle, patient, kind. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteousness, it's that straight level path that Christ has set up for us. It's that foundation that is straight, that builds a straight building, true and right. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy refers to refraining from perhaps having punishment on somebody. If somebody steals from you and you find he's stealing and you have mercy on him, you have no penalty. Jesus gave us an example. He said, just as you want men to do to you, you also do back to them. Do unto others. And it goes on to say, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We've heard the terms, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Psalm 51, that's David crying about a sin with Bathsheba. Pure is an attitude that is without falsehoods. It's undefiled, free from discord. It's innocent. Paul, in his letter to Titus, wrote in Titus 1:15, to the pure, to the clean in heart, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Even their minds and consciences are defiled. And John reminds us in 1 John 3:3, everyone who has this hope in him, the hope of eternal life, purifies himself, just as he, Christ, God is pure. It goes on to talk about blessed are the peacemakers. The notion of peacemaker, you're not becoming the third party between two nations. It's having peace within yourself. It's a personal peace, refraining from strife, being harmonious in our relationships with other people, a peacemaker. We can't always remember every single blessing from God, but we can certainly remember many of them. Some blessings we count daily. Some blessings we simply take for granted. nationally, we live in a blessed country here in the United States. Even more so here in Orange County in Southern California. Many of us have been abroad and visited other countries outside of the United States. Developing countries, second, third world countries. How did you feel when you returned to America? I wanted a cheeseburger after 3 weeks in the Middle East. Or other comfort food. You know, we experience wonderful memories when we travel outside the United States. So many areas, though, we have to be really on alert and aware. We need to watch the food and not drink the tap water. We got to be careful about where we go. But now a funny story on a serious topic is the memory about the ladies' rooms in one of these less developed nations. Perhaps some can appreciate this too. My wife and some ladies, when we were in Egypt and Jordan some years ago, went into one of these ladies' rooms, and all you could hear was a shriek. Yes, to their surprise, there were just holes in the ground, the proverbial squatty potty. And next to it was a water faucet with a cut-off garden hose. We'll figure that out. We don't begin to realize the blessings we have in this country. You go to the store, the produce is abundant. You want some oranges, you got to choose between three or four different varieties. And vegetables, how many do you want? It's out of season, they're still there available for you. And you know what? Your food has probably been processed in a very sanitary manner where you can eat it and not get sick. Why do we in this country have so many blessings? It's not because of anything we did, certainly. It's about Abraham. Genesis 22. Let's take a look at this section in Scripture where God promised blessings to Abraham. And not because of our goodness. We need to keep that in mind. These blessings are not because we as Americans have been wonderful, but because Abraham was good, because he was good to God, and God fulfilled his promises, and we are the recipients of these wonderful blessings. So in Genesis 22, 17 and 18, I'll just go to this real quick. Verses 17 and 18, starting 16, and said, "Myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and you have not withheld your son." So this is when he went up to sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah. "Because you have done this thing and not withhold your son, your only son, blessings will I bless you, and multiply will I multiply your descendants as the stars in heaven, as the sand which is in the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So many blessings. But what is the most single thing we can do to receive God's blessings? In Matthew 18, the last scripture, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child up to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives this little child like this in my name receives me." We're touched three ways in understanding blessings. We can give blessings to God. We can bend the knee and love God and our neighbors. We can bless others, and others can bless us. Bless your neighbors, and it'll be like you're blessing God, even. And the Beatitudes, how to be blessed in your attitude, how to adjust your minds in order to have that blessed state. And lastly, we know that God blessed this nation through the obedience of Abraham,
whom we are joint heirs to share those blessings with.